Community Connections, CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local, your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections, CKMS.
Happy Monday, Waterloo Region. You're listening to CKMS Community Connections for the 4th of December, 2023. My name is Bob Jonkman. In the studio today, we have Margaret Walker and Fadila Balgan from the CFUW. They're here to talk about the vigil on December the 6th, for the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. We'll be talking to Margaret and Fadila in just a bit. Right now, we're listening to Red Output, a four-piece band from Kitchener-Waterloo. This was recorded live in the studio.
So satisfied, never left me alone. 'Cause now I'm stuck in the middle between love and the people screaming. Let go, let go, you gotta let go now. Oh, I'm leaving, something about me is bleeding. Just give me my coat 'cause I'm freezing. And I can't walk home. Oh, I'm leaving. I can't get a hold of this feeling. Just give me my coat 'cause I'm freezing. And I've lost all hope. Got me home to where I was before. 'Cause life was so simple then. But not anymore. Well, now I'm stuck in the middle between love and the people screaming. Let go, you gotta let go now. Oh, I'm leaving, something about me is bleeding. Just give me my coat 'cause I'm freezing. And I can't walk home. Oh, I'm leaving, I can't get a hold of this feeling. Just give me my coat 'cause I'm freezing. Let me fall right into your arms. 'Cause even if I'm dreaming, it'll heal my scars. 'Cause now I'm stuck in the middle between love and my own broken heart. Oh, I'm leaving. Something about me is bleeding. Just give me my coat 'cause I'm freezing.
That's Red Output, band from Kitchener-Waterloo, called, not sure what that was called, but we'll have them in the studio at some point and they can tell us all about it. Right now in the studio we have Margaret Walker from CFUW and Fadila Balgan, who is not from CFUW. Welcome to the studio, both of you. So Fadila, tell me, what organization are you with?
Thank you, Bob. I'm Fadila Balogun from the African Women's Alliance of Waterloo Region.
Okay.
A non-for-profit organization that is based in the community, working to help, working with African women as they come into the region,
mm-hmm.
To overcome the structural and the structural barriers and all the both structural and political, barriers they face, in their integration into the community.
Providing support, we provide
support, and also, we tackle the issue of gender-based violence, which is very prevalent in our community. And even from back home where they're coming from, there are a lot of, issues, a lot of trauma that many women bring into this community. And it's always very important to have people that understand where they're coming from to help them process and, relearn how to move forward, with many issues. Thank you.
And gender-based violence is why you've been invited to the CFUW.
Yes.
For a vigil taking place on December the 6th. Tell us about that, Margaret.
Yes, we remember the devastating day in December the 6th, 1989, when 14 women were shot because they were women. Most of them, not all, most of them were engineering students, so they were in studying non-traditional fields, and killed for that reason. And so we want to remember that piece and remember, but also raise the awareness of gender-based violence that's prevalent, unfortunately, in our society, in many different parts of our society.
Yeah. I remember the day that happened, and I think it was the first realization that I had about gender-based violence, violence that exists solely to attack generally the opposite gender, and it's generally violence perpetrated by men against women.
For the most part, yeah.
I'm sure the opposite happens as well, but all in all, there's a larger prevalence of men-based violence against women.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was so dramatic because so many women were killed in one go. I mean, there are a lot more women killed, and a lot of the gender-based violence is sort of one-on-one. Most, a lot of it, unfortunately, is intimate partner. Violence,
right.
But we don't see one-on-one violence. The numbers don't get counted. One plus one plus one never seems to add up to very much in people's, because we don't hear about it. But 14 was a very dramatic demonstration of the violence, and so I think that's one of the reasons that we remember that day, is because it was 14 in one day. Yep.
And the statistic out there is one in every, one woman is killed in every, every 6 days. That is scary enough. But like you said, it's because it's just isolated incidences. It doesn't really come, to the foremind, right? But 14 at a go is a huge, is something to be remembered and to keep us working so that we never get to that. We never go back, to such, an incident. Yeah.
And again, say the other piece is, it's not just that ultimate piece of damage of being killed, but also there are a lot of women who are hurt every day. So I mean, maybe one in six days someone's killed, but there's a lot of women being hurt every day
in different ways.
I mean, some physical, some emotional, some mental violence.
Right. So violence against women, but not necessarily femicide.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Has that reduced since this happened? This was what, 1991, I believe?
1989.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not sure on the current statistics, but I'm going to say I don't think so. But I believe there's also more reporting. There's more willingness to report some of the violence, particularly the non-death violence, so that we're maybe more aware of it, particularly from the communities that are less well represented by our newer communities.
Right.
Yeah, Bob, of course it hasn't gone now, because if it had, it wouldn't have been declared in a pandemic in this year. So many cities, our region, thank God, our region and all the cities, jumped on board way back in July to, declare it a pandemic, following Toronto and Hamilton, in declaring that gender-based violence is a pandemic. And it really came to the forefront because of the COVID pandemic, right? COVID-19 pandemic, right. Where, women were really, women that were already in that situation or those that didn't think they were going to be in that situation, because of the lockdown.
Right.
Yeah, it really brought out all these things, and many of the victims were helpless because there was total shutdown, especially in our region, where there was total shutdown. There was no way to reach out to help. The people couldn't leave their right. homes, and so the effect was like we'll say multiplied, with everybody maybe prior to the pandemic, the women could hide, especially if they had children. Right. They could hide, the incidents from their children. But with everybody at home sharing, one common space, it became a family thing.
Right.
So the kids that were, prior to that time sheltered from, witnessing some of these things, witnessed, a lot during the pandemic. And like Margaret said, it's not even the femicide that is the main thing, but the trauma of even those, the other aspects, and the trauma of those that get to leave, yeah. And if they are not supported, it's more traumatizing than, the death, actually.
Right. I suppose the pandemic made it worse in that not only did the women not have any place to go to because it was all shut down,
mm-hmm.
but they were cooped up with the men perpetrating the violence, yeah, who had nowhere to go either.
Either, yeah.
So, and then just the frustration of everything would have escalated violence regardless.
Yeah, definitely.
So. And a lot of our services were shut down at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was difficult to get in, it was difficult to get help.
Things like shelters.
Shelters and so on, there was limitations placed on them, which, again, and how'd you get to them?
Yeah.
And there's this misconception that, gender-based violence affects only, women from certain, below in a certain economic, class.
Yeah.
But no, it cuts across all borders in terms of race, economic status, educational status. We'll say, yes, maybe some, the women that have gone beyond post-secondary have a little bit a little bit more resources navigating the resources, navigating the issue, but it still doesn't remove any woman from, being a victim,
right.
Of gender-based violence.
I expect that women with higher income have the luxury of being able to take some time away to escape.
One would think, because we should not forget, what about the female doctor that was killed by her doctor husband? So that's why we really have to, not let go of the fact that it cuts across all borders. If you remember, I think around 2011 or 10, there's this, they were both a doctor couple.
Right.
And he killed.
Down in Windsor direction, I think.
Yeah, no, in Toronto.
Oh, the one in Toronto.
Yes, the one. I'm talking about the one in Toronto.
Oh, right.
Yes.
I remember that. That's still under investigation, from what I understand. So, yes. Yeah. That's not commonly what we believe. I mean, here I am, an older white man, somewhat isolated from the knowledge of all that. And it seems to be the general perception, to me at any rate, that it's lower income women with families who are not necessarily out in the workforce. But you're saying it cuts across everywhere, and it's not just that particular demographic.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah. It's just that it's worse, the presentation is worse, especially when you have limited social,
networks.
Circle, networks, and also financial, wherewithal to, flee. Because when when we come across victims and we, try to get them, help, to leave, when there's threat to life, the question is, what do I do about the children? I do not have the financial capability to take care of four children. And I'm talking about stories of women that are close to me, friends, families. Actually, I got, on those occasions when, the question was posed to me, because I had to step back and reflect. Yeah. Did I have the financial capability to support them? No, I didn't have. And, and it really stumped me, because really when we're trying to get people to flee violence, there's so much more that holds people, back.
Right.
Maybe in this case, we now say somebody that has, the financial resources is able. The woman that is, that is lucky enough to have that financial resource might be able to flee. you know, that situation.
Right.
But many more are not able to. And it's not because they don't want to. It's because there are some things, like children, that really, you know, hold them, you know, back. And for an immigrant like myself, I will tell you that though we are in Canada, we are being controlled most of the time from back home. Because, yeah,
sure.
In the sense that, you know, coming from Africa, you don't marry one person. You don't marry a man. You marry his family. So, you know, and then likewise, the man doesn't marry the wife, he marries the family.
Okay.
And when they hear, you know, when, you know, they hear about the issues, you know, of dispute, of, you know, violence, they don't understand some of these things as violence. So when, you know, they hear about it from, like, no, you have a woman, you have to, you know, when young ladies are going into marriage, they had been told that, you know, marriage, you know, is a lesson, is a, you know, is a school. School of life, you know, where you are going to, you know, learn a lot of things, and you have to learn to accept and manage whatever situation you find. So you imagine that kind of mindset. That's what, you know, many people are still, many women, you know, are still being controlled by.
Right. So this coming Wednesday, the 6th, there's going to be a vigil.
Yeah.
Let's get some more information about that, but I think I want to take a quick musical pause to be able to digest some of what you've just told me, and then we'll get into some details on the vigil.
Okay?
I want to listen to Shelley Hayes. This is called Over You.
You can do. I don't care if you don't understand.
Shelley Hayes, over you. Not a resident of KW, but a graduate of University of Waterloo, so it counts as KW content to me. Got in the studio Margaret Walker and Fadila Balogun. Margaret from CFUW and Fadila from,
the African Women's Alliance of Waterloo Region.
Right. There's a vigil happening on December the 6th. Can you tell us about that, Margaret?
Sure, Bob. So the first thing we want to do with that vigil is to remember the 14 women. So we name them. We have their names and their different areas of study read out, and a reminder that each of these women was a daughter, possibly a sister, a niece, a granddaughter, that they were individuals and human beings with a whole lot of potential whose life, a potential that we're no longer going to, we don't get the benefit of. Who knows what they may have given our world if they've been able to continue their studies and work. So that's our first piece, and to remember that they were human beings, trying to take it away from that statistic and make them human.
It's really good that you're remembering the names, because to be quite honest, I don't remember the names of any of the victims, but I can remember the name of the perpetrator. And I think that's a common thing. The perpetrator gets all the press, and that I don't know if that glorifies the violence or makes it more humanizes the violence. It just seems wrong.
It does. Although I've noticed that more recently that the press and the police have moved away from naming the perpetrator or focusing on it, and just referring to them as the perpetrator, and trying to bring out the name of the victim and to identify the victim. But now that runs us into a privacy issue, but to try and personalize this the victim so that they don't become a statistic.
Yeah. I guess especially so that other potential perpetrators don't see it as their path to glory.
But my take on that is that the police are moving away, but then the movie industry comes into it and then glorifies, the perpetrators. And actually, that's because I know there's a week, is it a week or a month in September or so that, they keep everything on, from the US and Canada is always about the, serial killers.
Yeah.
And even my son had to make the comment, why, and it's a yearly thing. My son made the comment, like, why? Why do they, keep talking about these people like they've done something, great? It should be about the victims. Because even all, how do I put it? It's a kind of thing that conditions people's minds. And we've seen with the increased use of social media, we have different stories, different, narrations coming out there. And we even have people that are, becoming fans of this, evil men or evil, people. So it gets you wondering, why is it all because of money or whatever? But like you said, we will name the victims. We will not name, the perpetrators.
Good.
And I think that's what, many organizations are doing, especially the female organizations. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So starts off then with remembering the victims.
Remembering the victims. And then what we've had every year is a speaker, one or more speakers, talking about the issue within our own community.
Right. And that's where Fadila comes in.
So Fadila is just one. We've got a multitude of speakers this year. It's wonderful in many ways that we have speakers from so many different communities speaking about the issue. On the other side, that's also very sad that there are so many organizations that have so many speakers with way too much experience on the issue. So it's good and not good. I mean, it's not good that we have so many.
Yeah.
So yes, we have Fadila from the African Women's Alliance of Waterloo Region. We got Fran Papert Shannon from the KW Unity Mosque and Sarah Castleman from the Sexual Assault Support Center of Waterloo Region. She's spoken a number of years on this issue. And she's speaking very, very locally to the issue, locally, and what they're doing to respond to it.
So this is an outdoor gathering?
No, this will be indoors.
Oh, okay.
So we will actually use the sanctuary at St. Columba Church,
okay,
because it gives us an appropriate space to be seated. It's a large enough space.
And you're involved with that church?
And I am involved with that church. I am the priest at that church, amongst other places. But that, so it does give me an in.
Yes.
So that's and it's a church that's very supportive of the issue of responding to violence against women and the other communities. So we've got a strong food bank program running out of the church, which is helping some of the other groups. We know a number of the clients who come are victims of gender-based violence, and therefore that's why they need the help of the food bank.
Does St. Columba's provide shelter as well?
Oh, we don't provide shelter. No, not at that location.
No. Where is St. Columba?
It's 250 Lincoln Road in Waterloo. So it's Lincoln Road comes down to University, goes between University and Weber.
Okay.
University near the expressway. So it's on a major bus line. It's on the express bus going along University, easily accessible from all over the region.
I'll have the information about that in the show notes, radiowaterloo.ca/CCC, with a link to a map to the precise location. What time does it take place?
It's taking place at 5:30. Mm-hmm. We're expecting it to be about 30 to 45 minutes, not a long one, so plenty of time for people to get home afterwards, also a convenient time for folks who are coming perhaps after work, could come on their way home and still get home at a decent time to be at home.
Right. And this is on Wednesday the 6th, which is the...
That is the actual date, December the 6th. Is
the 35th anniversary of... 34th
anniversary, yes.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing to have such a severe action or a severe incident take place that we are still memorializing it 34 years later.
Oh, it's so serious that the federal government makes a national day.
Yes.
That really is an indicator of how serious an issue it is, and that it's not going away 34 years later. It's
the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a holiday, but a day of remembrance.
A day of remembrance. Yeah. And it's really important. It was also a day of action, and really it's what we're trying to do. There's the remembrance with the remembering the 14 women, but the action is in coming and learning about what's happening in our local communities, both how the violence is affecting some of our communities, but also what they're doing to try and deal with the issue. But
certainly make it recognized in the community,
and
give people who are victims of gender-based violence somewhere to turn, and or at least the knowledge of who to turn to if it should happen.
And also, unless we put faces, you know, many of these issues, when we don't put faces to it, it becomes their issue. Mm-hmm. But once we put faces, and like you said, to make it more local, because every locality has this issue. So, and we can't, you know, Waterloo Region can't go and start working for Hamilton, no. What we can collaborate, but then we have to make it, unless, you know, CFUW is doing, you know, to and like other organizations do. Like I know the Women's Crisis is also doing something about it in the morning. I think they have a breakfast event. Okay. Unless we all work together in the community to say, you know, it's really in our community and we know, you know, the victims, we won't be able to do much. So the more we, you know, gather, the more we collaborate to say this day is a day of remembrance and also a day of taking actions, local actions that would help the victims in our community, we won't go far. So, and like I say to people, you know, like you have to deal with, you know, the context of where you are, you know, how it happens, how it affects people, because it differs. You know, like we are going to, if you're talking about Toronto is not like Waterloo Region. and all, you know, and as such, each locality should, you know, make it, you know, should localize it, and that way, you know, we'll get the, we'll start to, you know, reduce the incidences.
So would you recommend a different set of services for Waterloo Region than, for example, in Toronto?
Not a different set, but, you know, when you know that she's my neighbor, mm-hmm. you know, when you have that in my in your mind that, oh, she's my neighbor, then it gets closer to your heart
yeah.
than thinking, you know, we just, if everybody just, if they didn't do any vigil, we just be reading about it on the news. It would, like we, you know, shared earlier, one woman is killed, you know, every 6 days. You'll be like, okay, one woman. So who is this person? This phantom, right? Unless, you know, you start thinking about it locally and, you know, at least work with what we have.
Yeah.
We can't, you know, prescribe for Toronto because they have different set of resources. So we have to just work with the one we have
even,
and personalize it.
Even within the region, mm-hmm. there's different resources needed because
yeah.
The Women's Crisis Services for Waterloo Region is in downtown Kitchener.
Mm-hmm.
The Sexual Assault Center is in downtown Kitchener. All the services are in urban areas. Yet we have a huge rural area in
yes.
Waterloo Region as well. As you said, gender-based violence stretches across all demographics. There's bound to be gender-based violence in the rural areas as
yes,
well.
Yeah.
But where do these people turn
go
to?
Yeah,
this is huge because they've got. It's very much more difficult for them to travel and
yes.
to get away.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on a farm or in a small community,
mm-hmm.
how do you get away from there? And then what happens? Your life collapses if you're the quote farmer's wife,
mm-hmm.
And you leave.
Where do you
What happens to the farm? Because mm-hmm. the farm probably won't struggle to continue. And what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how do you get out of there? And you have to have a vehicle to get out of there.
Yeah.
And I would say many of the organizations don't even have outreaches there. We don't have offices there. We don't even know how to connect with the people.
Right.
Because it's rural area. So for you to, you have to be there to be able to be one of them, to be able to get through to any of the, you know, community members
yeah.
is a huge issue. Knowing the problem is half of the solution, right?
Yeah. So this is something that could use some action.
Yes.
On the National Day of Action.
Yeah. But I think there's an important piece to this that we haven't been talking about at the moment. We've been talking about the women, but there's the men. And the truth is there are a lot of men who support this.
Yes.
What we'd like to see is some more men out and more men telling other men what's acceptable, because I think really at the end of the day, women can complain and say, I don't like to be hit or whatever.
Right.
But it's the men who've got to decide that hitting is wrong. For it to be unacceptable within the male community to be abusive.
So the male allies...
Mm-hmm. It's having male allies.
Yes. And yes. male allies need to influence their male colleagues
very much so
to educate them as to what's acceptable behavior
yep.
or more importantly what's unacceptable behavior
mm-hmm.
mm. yes yeah. it's I think it's more persuasive for one man to tell another man that a behavior is unacceptable
mm-hmm.
yeah.
than it is for a woman to tell a man when we're talking about this sort of behavior mm-hmm. that the behavior is unacceptable
yeah.
Are there a lot of male allies that you're aware of?
There are some. We would like some more coming out. We'd like some men coming out to the vigil
right.
to provide that support. I think there are. I mean, there are a lot of, but they're not as visible.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to stand up and be visible.
I think there may be some hesitance on the part of men to get involved as well. Men don't like to be told what to do.
But women probably don't either. But
no, that's true as well. But coming from there, I could see being hesitant in approaching somebody that I know has a tendency towards violence,
mm-hmm.
You know, for fear of having violence perpetrated on me.
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So are there courses or guidelines or some sort of program where allies can get the information on how to be effective in this?
There are, because I remember Sarah Castleman talking about it last year.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the connections, but there are courses out there for how how men can be an allies.
I think you're talking about the bystander training. Yes. Okay. Yep. So, yeah, I was going to mention that there are programs, you know, for men, but it's just that by nature of men, you don't find them really out in the community coming for programs like this, as, you know, as opposed to women. It's easier to get to the women because, you know, they just make time to attend educational programs like this. Yeah, we can do more.
Yeah.
But there are programs. It's just that how are these programs really, you know, reaching, you know, the men, you know, that need, you know, to hear this?
I can see the difficulty because as a man, I can say to myself, you know, I don't do this. I'm not a perpetrator. It doesn't happen to me. So, you know, why should I get involved?
Yeah.
And I think that if you can instill that into the community, you know, why should people get involved? Why should bystanders become involved to prevent this violence from happening? That would be a good step to take there.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it is trying to step back and say, and maybe making comments in, you know, locker room talk.
Ah.
Where when you're in the locker room and the comments are made,
right.
Even just sort of saying, even sort of raising an eyebrow and saying, like, that's not acceptable to say...
The inappropriate jokes,
because the inappropriate jokes do then, it makes that kind of behavior acceptable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It normalizes it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And we should know that, you know, at times most of these things all, you know, I know that many men see this issue as directly going, tying it to their, is it manness or
masculinity?
Yes. Masculinity, you know.
Yes.
So it's a tricky thing. So, you know, the men that come out, they are very vulnerable. You know, I think they know it's not right, but they don't want to, you know, be vulnerable, especially amongst their peers. So, you know, that's the reason why many men are not coming forward to say, you know, this is an issue that we all need to tackle.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, men don't like to be told what to do, but they listen to each other. So it takes that bold person to say, you know what, I don't care what names you call me, but I'm going to stand up and say, this is not right. And it just takes one person to start the movement. And once the movement is started, you get more people on board. So maybe we should be emphasizing that gender-based violence doesn't tie to masculinity, that you're man enough or you're not man enough. It's about humanity. It's about the other half of the population. You know, it's about people living in our community. You know, like you said, people's daughters, people's grandparents,
sisters,
even grandparents are not left out.
Right.
You know, so
it spans the age demographic
as well. Across all borders. Well,
right.
that's our word. That's our catchword, across all borders.
Yeah. So you said that it's the Sexual Assault Support Center that has the programs for male allies?
I know they were talking about those programs, and so whether they have them or whether they will refer people to them.
I'll do a little bit of internet looking up and add any resources that I can find to the show notes as well.
Yeah, okay. There are many. Yeah,
great, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So you brought some books with you, Margaret.
I did, so... Beyond having this vigil, we're around to support women. We've been around for over 100 years supporting women
Speaking
in our
CFUW
community.
Speaking of the CFUW here. Yeah.
Particularly with respect to education. And one of the pieces that we've done over time has produced some books. So these are some of the wonderful women who have been leaders in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Women of Waterloo County. That one's available at libraries. There are no copies of it left. Unfortunately, we've sold out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing.
So these were wonderful women who made a life, and they did something in our community more than just spending their husband's money.
Yeah.
And then there was a pair of other books, Proudly She Marched, and... Two different editions. One on the Canadian Women Army Corps, and mm-hmm. the other... on the naval service.
Oh, okay.
So they were both, during the Second World War, there were training camps in Waterloo region.
Okay.
For both the Army and the Navy. The Navy did have a base here in Waterloo.
Really?
Mm.
Not exactly a seaside resort.
It's not, but they had their training base here, and this talks about the incredible input that the women had into the Second World War.
CFUW is the publisher of...
Publisher of both these books, and these books are both available.
Okay.
I can promise that because a whole bunch of them are sitting in my garage.
directly available through CFUW?
Through CFUW.
And some of the local bookstores as well?
I don't think they're in the bookstores at the moment.
Okay.
They were. They're also available at the library. And it's proceeds from that help fund some of our scholarships.
Okay. And so the scholarships are to local high school students?
So our scholarships are going out to high schools, St. Louis Adult Learning Center, mm-hmm. Conestoga University College, Waterloo and Wilfrid Laurier universities at both the undergraduate and postgraduate. So we're covering the whole range of students in a wide variety of different topics: mm-hmm. biology, chemistry, music.
Mm-hmm. And these scholarships are then funded through this particular book sale.
So the book sale funds a lot of has funded that and the generosity of some of our members who have given us legacies to bequests, also funded it. So we now have over $1.6 million invested, and are handing out over $60,000 a year, mm-hmm.
every year.
In awards to students.
As tuition increases and just the cost of living increases, mm-hmm. that can be very, very useful to a student.
Yeah. Yeah. And something that started out going to the high schools, where you can imagine that 30 years ago, we didn't have quite as many high schools in our region, but we've kept up. And so there is an academic award and a chemistry award to every one of our high schools. So every high school gets this in the region. And as we keep adding high schools, we keep adding awards.
Okay. So academic and chemistry, you said?
Chemistry, because... one of the people who started our local club, CFUWKW, back in the day, so 100 years ago, was a chemist. And one can only imagine that 100 years ago, women with degrees was kind of mm-hmm. rare.
Yeah.
Women with science degrees was even more rare. In recognition of her contribution, we have a chemistry award to every high school.
I'm hearing all the time of significant women scientists mm-hmm. Who... made many discoveries who were eclipsed by their male colleagues who took credit for the work that the women had done. So that happens far too frequently. So, yes, provide the scholarships to the women so mm-hmm. that they get to shine in their own light.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to do more of this, historical researches, because, it was mind-blowing to me when, I found out that NASA was actually, there were more women than men. I was like, wow, how come? They never, like you said, they get eclipsed and they're still getting eclipsed anyway.
Still happens,
It still happens. I think we need to blow our trumpets ourselves.
Yeah.
And celebrate every woman, for every little achievement. That way we encourage even our sons, right? Because the more they see, women, like their mothers being celebrated, and being recognized, I think it sends them, it does something to their psyche.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. I think I want to take another musical break. Another local musician, Avalon Stone, who sings a song called Forget You, which is exactly what they're hoping to not happen for the vigil coming up. I'll talk to Margaret and Fadilla in just a bit more, but here's Avalon Stone.
Something's telling me I'm about to get burned. No one
and Avalon Stone finishes abruptly. That was called Forget You, which is the exact opposite of what we want to do in the upcoming vigil. Can you just quickly recap that again for us, Margaret?
So 5:30 on Wednesday evening, December the 6th, at St. Columba Church, 250 Lincoln Road in Waterloo, we will be having a vigil to remember the 14 women who were killed at the École Polytechnique in December the 6th, 1989, and also to learn a little bit about the issue as it continues to be in our own community. We are having three speakers in to speak about the issue. Fadela from the African Women's Alliance, who's here with me today, Fran Papert-Shannon from the KW Unity Mosque, and Sarah Castleman from the Sexual Assault Support Center of Waterloo Region.
And the vigil itself is being put on by the CFUW?
It's by the CFUW, the Canadian Federation of University Women, KW. Mm-hmm. We're a group of women who advocate on the issue of women and primarily on education, so this is an education piece for us. And we also like to get together. We have speakers every month at our monthly meetings. We also have 40-something interest groups so that we can learn about something new, anything from food to hiking to movies to books to all sorts of things. And we do advocacy. We are known at all levels of the government for the advocacy we do primarily for women and children and education.
Right. How can people get involved?
Go to our site, cfuwkw.org, which I think is going to be up on the your website as
It'll
well.
It'll be on the website, yeah. I'll have all the show notes at radiowaterloo.ca/ccc.
And the information is all there on the website.
Okay. And then Fadela, you're speaking. You're one of the guest speakers. Mm-hmm. You're invited to speak at the vigil. Mm-hmm. For the African Women's Alliance of Waterloo Region. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So African Women's Alliance of Waterloo Region was founded by a handful of women way back in 1995. We're talking about a handful of professional women, internationally trained, coming into the region and finding themselves, you know, facing so many structural barriers and challenges in getting back into their professional life. So this was that that was a drawing point for all these women. Mm-hmm. And they met up at Tim Hortons. I think their first meeting was at Tim Hortons. And, you know, our local,
more Canadian than that.
So, and with that, you know, they progressed to, you know, having, you know, a family picnic the following year, just to, you know, because coming as immigrants, back then, it was really isolating. So they found themselves gravitated towards each other and, you know, built something from that. So our first, the first ED, Sadia Ghazim, God rest her soul, you know, was the first ED, and she died in 2015. And yes, so I was a board member, and then, you know, later, you know, as we grew, I've transitioned now into the executive director's position. Oh. And yeah, we do a lot of programming around women and in extension their families, because we know there's a saying that train a woman and you would have trained, you know, the whole village, right? So that's what we do, you know. We do advocacy work too, and we even, we have our Thursday program, our weekly session called Advocate Yourself, where the women come together as peers to learn how to be proactive rather than reactive, you know, to the issues, you know, to the various issues they face, like racism, not knowing what to do when, you know, dealing with agencies and things like that. And we do have our own gender-based violence program, which runs, you know, out of Chandler Mowat Community Center every Tuesday from 11 to 1. Our Advocate Yourself is, before the pandemic, you know, ran from out of the Mill Cotland Community Center. But now it's a hybrid program. If we have people that want to come in, we are, you know, our coffee is always ready, you know, for women. We really want women to come. And, well, I think the pandemic has made many people lazy, so they just want to be online. So just a reminder, our Thursday program and our Tuesday programs are, you know, in person. Like the Thursday program is hybrid, you know, but if you ever want to have your coffee in person, just reach out and, you know, reach out to the Mill Cortland and you'll be given, you know, more details. But for our Tuesday program, we run it out of Chandler Mowat Community Center and it's from 11 to 12:30. And really, that is, you know, a core project because it's about gender-based violence and all the issues. There's so many things behind that name. And we really encourage people to connect, volunteer with us, and get more information on afrowomen.ca on our website. Mm-hmm. Just Google African Women's Alliance of Waterloo Region and you get our website. And to reach out to us through the email outreach.afrowomen@gmail.com. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming in today on CKMS Community Connections.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Margaret Walker from CFUW and Villa Balagan from the African Women's Alliance of Waterloo Region.
Yeah, thank you.
Remember the vigil, December the 6th, that's Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. at St. Columban Church. Mm-hmm. Again, look at the station website, radiowaterloo.ca/ccc for the information. And that's it for today. You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections for the 4th of December, 2023. My name is Bob Johnsman. CKMS Community Connections is produced by Radio Waterloo, sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producer is Jeff Stager. And our theme music is composed by Stephen Todd. CKMS Community Connections airs every Monday at 11 o'clock and alternate Fridays at 3 p.m. Talk to you later.